Acts chapter 9. I want you to see something with me. I like to follow men's lives and women's lives in the Bible. And I like the introduction that we get from the Holy Spirit. Some men, we meet them as children or as babies. Some men and women, we meet them as adults. We catch them at the beginning or the end of their life. And it's not an accident when the Holy Spirit wants to show us or introduce them to us, rather. If the timing is the timing of God, like in Galatians 4:4, in the fullness of time, God sent His Son. And He sent His Son from youth. He could have sent Christ as a man, but He sent Him as a babe. There was purpose in that. So when God shows you someone in the Bible, He introduces them to you. When and how He introduces them to you has spiritual significance. We find Paul introduced further back in the life of Stephen. And it's such an amazing testimony of Stephen's life. And as Stephen is dying, he's cast out of the city and he's stoned. In verse 58 of Acts chapter 7. And the witnesses, now this is key. The reason why it says the witnesses is because by two or more witnesses, a matter is established. You had to have at least two witnesses who could testify against you, particularly in a sentence of death, which is why they had witnesses for Christ. There were at least two witnesses, and what the witnesses would do is they would be the first ones to cast the stone. That's why in John 8, Jesus said, "He who is without sin, cast the first stone, be the witness." None of them could have a sinless witness, and that's why none of them could pick up the stones. Same thing here. There were two witnesses that were willing to be, "I will be a witness and I will pick up the first stones." And the two witnesses threw the first stones that hit you. And then the crowd joined in. But the first two witnesses says, "We are the ones that execute the charge first." And they laid their clothes, because they're wearing a tunic, they laid their clothes at the feet of Paul. Now, it's interesting, it says here, they laid their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. Now imagine what is going through his mind. He's watching this guy, Stephen, the deacon evangelist, preaching about Christ and looking to the heavens and saying he sees Jesus. He sees it. Saul is having a vision of a man who's having a vision. And it's quite interesting when you see someone walking in a vision, it does something to you. It stirs your heart. It may not give you a vision, but it stirs your heart. Then the next chapter 9, this same man, he's the same witness who saw Stephen's death. In verse 1, he says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughters against the disciples of the Lord," the same Lord he heard preached about in Acts chapter 7, "he went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogue, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women," wow, which is very powerful, "he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem." And I want you to look at this. The same man who had a vision in Acts 7:58, the same man is going hunting for Christians, male or female, in Acts 9, 1 and 2. Watch him in Acts 9, verse 20. It says in Acts 9, verse 20, "Straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God." This is the same man who was hunting and capturing people who believed this way. Now he is speaking this way. It is amazing. Is absolutely amazing. Then you can turn with me to, let's see here, Galatians chapter 1. This is the shock of the disciples. Now they know about the Paul who was there in Acts 7:58, and the Paul, or the Saul rather, who was there in Acts chapter 9 verses 1 and 2. But then they also knew about the Saul who was there in Acts 9:20, and they says in verse 23 of Galatians chapter 1, "But they heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preached the faith which he once," and I like this verb here, "destroyed." But in Acts 9, 1 and 2, he was a destroyer. But now he's a preacher. And then it says in verse 24, "And they glorify God in me." The change that had taken place in Saul could only have happened by God. That is a change we can believe in. A change that can transform a life. And that's the miracle of Christianity. Now turn with me and then we'll finish reading. Or we can keep reading the Bible if you'd like. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This is the same guy. The guy who, in Acts chapter 7, verse 58, who watched Stephen get stoned, the same guy in Acts chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, who persecuted the church, the same guy who now preached in Acts chapter 9, verse 20, the same guy who once persecuted but now preached, who God, the disciples glorified God in him, same guy is speaking here. And this is what he says. We'll start with verse 14. For the love of God constrains us all, because we thus judge. And I like the way he says we. He uses plural words in 14, us and we. That if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he that died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them, and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. And that's an interesting verse. It literally means, I saw Christ naturally. But when I became saved, I see Christ spiritually. So when you become a Christian, even your view of who Jesus is changes. Verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, and that goes back to Philippians 2, verse 7, speaking about God, Christ laying down his, laying aside his privileges as deity, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Let me say that again. Not imputing their trespasses against them. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1 and 2, we had trespasses against us. But Christ came in the world not to charge us. He did not come to indict man. He came to take man's place for their charges. Not imputing your trespass unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now why has he committed it to us? Because that was his ministry to us. The same ministry that he had towards us, he has committed to us to have towards others. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. There you go, we're ambassadors. We represent this reconciliation. As though Christ did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Now something happened to Saul between Acts chapter 7 verse 58 and Acts chapter 9 verse 1 and 2 and Acts chapter 9 verse 20. Something happened to Paul. Paul was different. Saul was different, rather. Saul was different. He met God. Now, I don't care how you meet God. I don't know the testimony of how you became a Christian. But when you meet God, you are not the same. You're different. And even if you don't understand the difference, even if you can't explain the difference, even if people don't recognize the difference, you are eternally different. You're not the same. Saul was not the same. His friends did not understand it. All of Saul's friends up until this point, when he was different, no one understood. The church did not understand it. Didn't understand it. No one understood it, but he was different. Something was different about him. He was a different guy. Saul the persecutor became Saul the preacher. When you meet God, God does something in you. He changes you. John chapter 1 verse 12, unto them who believe, he gives them power to be made the sons and daughters of God. God does something in us. We're different. We are different. We said in the car drive on the way up here, Christians are not better than unsaved people, but we are different than them. We are different than them. God has done a work in us, for us and in us, that has not been done in the people of the earth. We're different. Not better, but we are different. And what I like is this. I like Paul's, number one, his recognition that he was different. Paul knew something happened. It was recognition. How do we recognize when something is different that God has done in our life? It's by faith. I participated in the things of God by faith. And by faith, Paul said, I'm not the same guy anymore. I'm different. And then once there was recognition, there was response. How do we respond? That's the application of God's character in our life. I recognize in faith and I respond in grace. And that's what happened to Paul Paul recognized and responded, and the fruit of that was Acts chapter 9 verse 20. He became a preacher of the gospel. His life was different. So much so that the people who once feared him in Galatians chapter 1 verse 20 glorified God in him. They were stunned. They were stunned. Who is this guy? He did a complete 180. He was completely different. Paul knew it. Paul knew it. Now, what does it mean today? I want to talk about two words tonight in the time that we have. Two words. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 all the way down to 20, there are two words that describe how different we are. Two words that will help you to think about this. I've been thinking about these two words all week. Just two words. Because I often read this passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. It says we're new. Now, the new here does not mean new like you take a car. You take a Ford, okay? You own a Ford, maybe a Ford, I don't know, Explorer, and you buy a new Ford. That's not what new means here. New means different new. You went from owning a Ford Explorer to owning an F-16. It's completely different. There's nothing in the new that represents, there's nothing in the old that is represented in the new. You can't even make a comparison. We are new. And there's two words that describe this newness that we have. The first word you'll find in verses 18, 19, and 20. And it's mentioned five times. And the word is reconciled. And it's a Greek word, katalazo, and it means this. If you divide it up, kata means to be thoroughly or completely. And lazo, when you break it down, it speaks of to make a favorable change, to make a favorable difference. In other words, something is different and it's positive. Now notice the prefix, kata, K-A-T-A, and it means this. It means completely, throughout. So when God says that He has reconciled us to Himself, that means that He has made a change in you and me throughout. That is positive, that is permanent, and that is favorable. That's what reconciled means. That's what it means. A process of divine action, not natural. The change in you as a believer is not because of you and your ability. And it's not because of anything natural, but it's divine. Because Paul says it very clearly, the source or the action or the power behind our change is God. It's not me. That's why any Christian you see that is different, they've grown. If they've taken one inch of faith, if they've changed in one way toward God, God is the one who made that happen. That's why in Galatians chapter 1 it says, and they glorify God in Him. They did not glorify Paul. Never mind what Paul was doing. Now he's the great preacher, he used to be the persecutor. They didn't celebrate Paul's goodness. You know what they celebrated? They celebrated God's goodness. They said, God in that man is powerful. God is great. They glorify God in him. And that's what we do. When we sit in the church of God and we see so-and-so take a step of faith, and so-and-so is doing this, and so-and-so is doing that, and so-and-so is, sister so-and-so is growing this way, and so-and-so's family is making a change. You know what that means? That I'm glorifying God in that person. God is doing something amazing in that person. Glory be to God. Reconciled. A divine action motivated by love, executed by the Son, led by the Spirit, according to the Father's plan, based upon the work that was performed on the cross in John 19:30. When we embrace that by faith as a gift of grace, we are different. We've been reconciled. We've been made different. We've been made different. And the word that he uses here, reconciliation, it speaks of to be made completely different. Completely different. That means I can never be who I was. Even if I act like I used to act, I'm not who I used to be. If everybody in your family says you are just the way you'll never change, they don't know the change of God. They don't understand what God has done. If you ever say to a Christian, you'll never change, based on what they did when they weren't saved, you don't see them as God is seeing them, because God says that person has changed. They're no longer a son of man, they're a son of God. They can never be a son of man again. They've been, in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, they've been taken out of the kingdom of darkness and put into the kingdom of His dear Son. They can never be there again. They can never be there. They're completely different. That means they are different in their relationship to God. They are different in their relationship to their family. They are different in their relationship to their friends. They are different in their relationship to the Word of God. They are different in their relationship to Jesus Christ. They are different in every aspect of their life. That word reconciled means there's been a change that has happened completely in every area of my life. I'm different. I may talk the same, I may walk the same, I may speak the same, but in every area of my life, I'm different. Whether I choose to experientially embrace that difference doesn't change the fact whether I'm different. Like it or not, I'm different. You know, it's like, I'm purple. I don't care how many times you take a shower, you're still purple. It's just the way it is. You could do one or two things. You can deny who you are in Christ, or you can experience who you are in Christ. But that's the only two options you've got as a Christian. You can live as you are or pretend that you're not. But even if you pretend that you're not, it doesn't change how God sees you. Or I'll say this, even if you pretend to be something that you're not in Christ, the devil and God both see you as who you are, which is amazing. The devil will only, if you're a Christian, he will see you as a Christian. In your weakest state, he still identifies you as a child of God. He knows he cannot have you. He can't have you. And God knows you belong to him. There's not one time when God looks at a child of God and says, they might not be mine. God says, I will keep them in Jude 24. They belong to me in Galatians 4, 4, and 5. They're in my family. And in John, and in Romans chapter 8, verse 16, I will remind them with my spirit that they're my son and they're my daughter. It is the Holy Spirit that reminds you that you're a child of God. In case you forgot, when you're spirit filled, that's the first thing he tells you. You belong to God. That word reconciled means they are completely different, completely different. The man in Acts chapter 9, 1 and 2 is completely different from the man in Acts chapter 9, verse 20. Completely different, completely different. All throughout his every facet of your life. Completely. Completely. That's what that word means, reconcile. Completely different. Completely different. Not the same. Completely changed. Completely changed. Romans 3, 22 through 24, reconcile. It means completely different. It means completely different. Changed. Completely changed. In other words, as a Christian, God is not changing me. Sometimes I'll tell you the truth. There's a song we sing growing up, I don't even like it anymore. He's changing me. No, he's changed me. He's not changing me. He's changed me. What is happening is in my experience, I am growing in the change that has happened. But he's not changing me. He's changed me. I'm not the same. I'm not the same. This change that God is doing in my life is not progressive. The progressive part of the change is my faith agreement to participate in the change I already have. When it says in Romans 8:29 that I'm being conformed to His image, how am I being conformed? In my experience. How am I being conformed in my experience? When I walk by faith in the Spirit and who God says I am, that's how I'm being conformed. That is the process that they're talking about. That's the 2 Peter 3:18, growing in grace. It's that I'm actually, in my experience, I'm actually living more like who I am. I'm living more day by day, moment by moment, from face to face in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, from strength to strength in Psalm 84, verse 7, and from glory to glory in 2 Corinthians 3:18. I am living moment by moment with God in what He's already done in my life. I'm not waiting for God to do something. I'm walking by faith in what God has done. God is completely, the word there is very powerful. It means throughout. There's no area of my life. I'm not sitting at home waiting for God to change an area of my life. I am changed in that area. I'm just not living by faith in that area. Or I haven't grown in my capacity to walk in truth about that area. It's not like there's an area in my room that God hasn't touched yet. No, He's changed me completely. When you are reconciled to God, there's not part of you that God says, well, I don't know about that area. I mean, what you're saying is that the blood was not enough. That what Christ did on the cross was good enough to change this part of you, but this part over here, the cross was not enough. If the cross was truly enough, In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, if he who knew no sin became sin, that we might be made this, we might receive his righteousness. If there's any part of us that was not changed, we could not receive his righteousness. He could not add righteousness to unrighteousness. So he had to have a complete change in order to add complete righteousness. So that first word is very key for me when I understand that I am new. When I say that I am new in Christ, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are new. What that really means, that I am completely new. I don't care how you feel or what day of the week it is or whether you're in church or at work or whatever, you are completely changed. You're completely changed. Completely. That's what reconciled means. Because of who you were in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, and in verse 2, who you were, but grace in verse 4, wherein he loved us by his great love, wherein he loved us, we're new. I'm completely changed. And by the way, every other kingdom knows this. The kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness knows you're different. The only confusion lies with me. I'm the one that's not sure that I'm born again. I'm the one that's not sure that I'm completely different. I'm the one that has doubts and procrastinate in the will of God. Satan does not have a ministry of procrastination, neither does God. There's no doubt in their ministry. They know who you are. Why? Isn't it interesting that the demon said to the seven sons of Sceva, Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. He threw Paul's name in there. Paul, I know. He knows exactly who Paul is. The kingdom of darkness knows who has been identified as the kingdom of light. They study your life. They were there when you became a Christian, when you made that choice. They saw that. So even if you, the next day, I don't think I am, well, they believe it. And they will treat you accordingly. Demons don't pull back, well, I'm not sure he's saved. What do you think? I don't know. Well, Belias, I don't know what you think, Belial. I don't know either. Well, let's just take it easy on him because he might not be there. They know. They know and God knows. Completely changed. That's why you get the warfare in your life that you get, because they know exactly who you are. Exactly who you are. Second word. You find this word in verses 15 and 16, and it is there three times. And I love this word. Henceforth. I like those good King James words. Henceforth. It's like a bad English movie. Henceforth. Now, to get this, as a result of being reconciled by God, right? In verse 19, to God. In verse 20, for God. In verse 10, actually. We're completely changed. What does that mean? Since I'm completely changed, here's the second word, henceforth. I love that word. That's like a classy word, henceforth. And it means this, it means no longer, no more, not again. No longer. Sometimes you have, it's a transitional word. Sometimes you have transitional words that make a comparison as if it could happen again. But this is a transitional word that makes a comparison that you were in one state, but you can never be in that state again. Henceforth. In other words, I graduated from the 8th grade, henceforth, I go to the 9th grade. Which means I can never go back to the 8th grade because I've already moved on to the 9th grade. Henceforth. No more, no longer, not again. From the point of reconciliation forward. From this point forward. Because God is a forward thinker. God is not a backward thinker. He's a forward thinker. As Christians, we are forward thinkers. We look back, all we see is the cross. So all we do is look forward. If you keep looking back at your past, if you see something, it's because you're not looking at the cross. Because the cross has wiped out your past. The only thing behind you is the cross. There's no rear view mirror in your walk with God. We're not looking in the rearview mirror seeing people or other cars. We are forward lookers and forward thinkers. Philippians chapter 3, verse 14, forgetting the things which are behind, I press forward for the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ. Forgetting the things which are behind. You know why I forget them? Because the cross took them. Now, if you want to go to the cross and try to dig your past off the cross, feel free. But henceforth, that's how God thinks. Henceforth, from this point forward. You know what henceforth means? Changed forever. That's what henceforth means. It means I've been changed forever. Reconciled means I've been changed completely. Henceforth means I've been changed forever. And that's what new means. New means changed completely and changed forever. That measures who I am and where I'm going. Because of what He did, I've been changed completely. And because I know what He did, I know who I am forever. I know who I am forever. Changed completely, changed forever. I love that. Those two words. What does new mean? I'm a new creation. I'm changed completely. I'm not waiting for God to change areas of my life. I'm waiting for me to grow in my capacity with God to experience the change I already have. I'm changed completely. And by the way, I'm changed forever. There's no going back. What's that old song? No turning back. I'm not turning back. Why? Because I can't. There's nothing to turn back to. What to turn back? It's the cross right there. Boom. Face to face with a piece of wood. There you go. Where are we going from here? Nowhere. But forward. God is like a forward thinker. Get up, go on, go forth. We preached a message, I think, in Baltimore a while ago. Get up, go on, go forth. That's it. That's it. Get up, go on, go forth. I'm struggling in this area. One of the greatest verses in the Bible. I love it. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. God knows how to keep the godly out of temptation. What are you struggling with? Get up, go on, go forth. Go forth with God. Henceforth. Know you no man after the flesh in verse 14. That includes you. Because you're new. Well, I used to have this problem. Well, stop confessing what the cross has covered. Because you know what? Whatever, you know what's interesting? Whatever problem you used to have, the devil even knows it's been covered by the blood. His only ministry is to convince you that you're not who God says you are, but you are absolutely exactly who God says you are. You have been changed completely, reconciled, and you've been changed forever henceforth. Changed completely forever. Any man be in Christ, he or she is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, and I like that word. I'll pause there for a second. You know what the word behold actually means? It means that something is there and it's obvious, but you're not paying attention to it. Every time you see behold in the Bible, it's like there's something in your vision. There's something in front of you, but you're not focusing on it. So whenever behold is said, it means focus on this. Folk like John chapter 1, verse 29. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. In other words, Jesus Christ is standing right there. It's in front of you, but it's not obvious because you're not focusing on it. So John the Baptist says, behold, pay attention. It literally means pay attention to what's in front of you. It doesn't mean pay attention to something that's not in front of you. So when it says, behold all things in there. It says, pay attention to what's in front of you. You're new. It doesn't mean pay attention to what's behind you. Pay attention to what's in front of you. God's a forward thinker. Reconciled, changed completely. Henceforth, changed forever. And every day we live in henceforth. Every day. That means I've been changed forever. And this change that has happened to me is complete and is forever. And the change that I have is unchanging. Unmovable. Without flaw. Without speck. That's what it means to be new. We're new. His mercy is new every morning because we're new. Revelation 21 verse 5, he said, behold, I will do a new thing. God has done a new thing in your life. He's done a new thing. I remember the song we used to sing in Africa, God, do something new in my life. You know what? He has. I would love to change the words of that song. God, help me to walk in the newness of your life. That's what I would say. Help me to walk in the newness of your life. You imagine how confident you would be with God if you walked as God says you are. I'm not even talking about trying to do something for God, but how much your world would be different if you as a Christian walked as God has said you are. I was telling Pastor Mike that I personally believe, I'm really chewing on this thought, I can transform and change my world just by walking by faith. There are so many places that God puts you in on a daily basis, and He has put you there for one reason. Not to get up on your job and grab a microphone and just start preaching Isaiah or exegeting Matthew. No. Just walk in by faith. Because we're different. And when we walk by faith, our faith stirs people up. Have you noticed that? And situations when you make faith decisions, people start asking, why are you doing that? Why do you? How come you're not there? How come you're acting this way? Because I make my decisions differently than you do. I don't make decisions to avoid God. I make decisions that include God. I don't walk by what I see. I walk by faith. I'm different. I'm new. I'm changed completely. And old things have passed away. It means you can't get them anymore. They're gone. Even if you try to, and that's the great hypocrisy of Christianity, that you can actually go back and recapture things you used to do. Have you ever noticed that? Things you used to do before you got saved, when you try to go back and do them, they're not as fun. Yeah. They're a little drier. You've got to do more of it to have the same amount of fun. And after a while, you're like, this is not as fun. Because you're different. You can't even go try to. You can't even live that life if you wanted to. Because you're living, you have a different life. God is inside of you. The Holy Spirit is inside of you, initiating to you, convicting you in John 16, 7 through 9, speaking to you, teaching you, John 14, 26, leading and guiding you in John 16, 13. God is in you. You're new, reconciled, completely changed. Mom says, well, will you ever change? I changed. But you make your bed now? No. I'm changed from the inside out. Change is not, by the way, the change of God is not measured by the behavior of people. Never forget that. Change of God is never measured by the behavior of people. I've seen spiritual people do dumb things. Pastor Schaller said, you never outgrow the possibility of doing something stupid. There's no Bible college class that's the anti-stupid class. It's not there. I've seen men of decades of doctrine do absolutely asinine things. You're like, what did you have? A brain fart? What happened here? You just completely lost the plot. What happened? It's completely stupid. Just in a few seconds. What happened? You never outgrow that. That propensity to be stupid, you don't outgrow that. You look like a book. You have these classic lines. It seemed like a good idea at the time. You put the blender in there, and then you put the. I thought it was a good idea at the time. You know. We at the Baltimore church. There's a, you know, those water spigots they have for water hoses. We have one outside the church wall, and then one of them was leaking. So one of the guys, a Bible college student, thought it was a good idea to shove a broomstick in there. It seemed like a good idea at the time. He flooded out the whole church. It seemed like a good idea at the time. He flooded out the entire church. This has happened about 2 years ago. Because he stuck a broomstick into the wall and blocked up the water. The water pressure backed up and blew the pipe system and flooded the whole church. John Nielsen was in there vacuuming and putting his Jesus on pause once in a while. But it was interesting. You don't want to grow it. But my behavior does not reveal my change, but my change can affect my behavior. That's the Romans 8:29. That's the confirmation. That's the Romans 12:2, the transforming. That's the Ephesians 4:23, being renewed in your mind. That is the changes that are happening. But if our infection is from the inside out, right? Mark 7:21-23, Jesus said, don't you know that the infection of man does not come from the outside in, but from the inside out? So does our change. So does the life of God. It does not come from the outside in, but from the inside out. So does the character of God from the inside out. As a human being, who I am emanates from the inside out. See? That's why in Psalm 51, verse 5 and 6, David said, God, you want truth in the inner parts. From the inside out. From the inside out, we have been changed. I love this verse so much, 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but when we see Him, we'll be like Him. In other words, take it easy on yourself. It does not yet appear what you shall be. In other words, you have been changed completely by God, but you may not be revealing that change. You might look like the old man, but you're not, because you can never be him. Because he's passed away.
Romans 6:6, he's crucified. No matter how much you try to walk around with that dead body, it doesn't matter. You are who you are by the grace of God. 1 Corinthians 15:10, and you can't stop it or change it, because I'll say again, you can either live as you are or pretend like you're not. Those are your options as a Christian. And there's consequences and benefits from both. Adam changed forever. Changed forever. Can never go back. Paul put that old thing that passed away on purpose. You know why? Just in case you thought you could go back. God, Paul said it's not even there. It's like if you moved out of this house and I TNT'd this whole building. Even if you wanted to leave your next house and come back to this house, there's nothing to come back to. There's nothing for you to go back to. It's been wiped out. That life has been wiped out. Christians who live outside of the life of God are living in a memory. They're living in a memory of a life that they used to live. Because it can never be reality for you. It can never be your reality. Never. And if you want to live the lie your whole life on the earth, it's great. And then you see God. But you're not going to change God's work. You can't undo the work of God. You can't undo it. So those are the two key words. Whenever you hear, I'm new, change completely, change forever. Change completely, change forever. That's you and me. That's every Christian. I love that. That's why I like in verse 14, he says, any man. That means every Christian. The best of us and the worst of us. There's no pecking order. The best of us and the worst of us. And the rest of us. Forever, completely. I'm changed. I'm different. You don't look different. Doesn't matter how I look. We don't live by faith and not by sight anyway. I mean, imagine if Christians looked different. Then we could actually say I can live by sight, correct? Well, he looks different. It's amazing how much sight enters into our vocabulary as Christians. Well, he looks like he'd be a great Christian. Well, that bum over there, he looks like he could never be born again. He can't be saved. There's so much sight in our thinking because we were born in it. So we're naturally sight thinkers. That looks like a guy. I think I'll talk to him. He looks like he's open. Got to be led. That's why God said be led of the Spirit, because the things of God are not by sight. By sight, how many things have you done in your life that were just, you just sensed it was wrong, but then God showed you it was right? But by sight, it looked completely wrong. That looks, no, I'm not doing that. That looks crazy. By sight, Jesus Christ was, his mission was a failure. All his disciples, the key men, forsook him. Died alone, bloodied on the cross with no friends and no family and nobody around him. A failure. And if you and I were around, we said he died at such a young age, 33 and a half. He was so young. Prime of his life. Snatched out. Just began his ministry. And 3.5 years in, he's gone. What a failure. Owned no land. No wife. It appears the only thing he owned was his own clothes on his back. Not respected in his town. Friends turned on him. Would you follow that guy? By sight? No, you wouldn't. I don't feel new, Pastor Ronaldo. If you knew what I was thinking, if you knew what I did, I feel rather old. If you don't live by your feelings, you live by your faith. Christianity is not a feeling, it's a faith. You walk by faith and not by feelings. Because if you walk by feelings, you won't go far. If you walk by feelings, you only go as far as your feelings can take you. For some of us, that's not even out the house. But if you walk by faith, God can take you to the ends of the earth and beyond. See, if you walk by faith, there's no limit to where you can go. So we're new. It does not yet appear. What does that mean? That means you're never going to look like how God sees you. So stop trying to look like what God wants you to look like. Because it doesn't yet appear. In other words, and the word therefore appear means visual. It means literally, I don't visually look like what I shall be with God. But when I see Him, I'll be like Him. In other words, I will not be like Christ until I see Him. You won't get there. On your best day, you won't get there. So take it easy. Stop trying to please God and just get to know God. Philippians 3:10, Paul didn't say, that I may please Him. No, he said, that I may know Him. Because in Hebrews 11:6, faith pleases Him. I don't wake up in the morning trying to please God. I wake up in the morning getting to know God. Because I know if I get to know Him by faith, I will please Him. Why go for the fruit when I can have a tree? Then there's no limit to the fruit. Changed completely. Changed forever. You embrace that tonight, it'll change the way you pray. It'll change the way you think about God. It'll change the way you see yourself. Because the greatest war in your mind is how you see yourself. It's not how you see God, it's how you see yourself. The person you kick the most in your thought life is you. Because you find it hard to raise your foot to God, but you will kick yourself often. I was with a Christian the other day, he kept saying, I'm so stupid, I can't believe I said that. He kept saying, I'm so stupid. I'm like, my God, are you trying to convince me you're stupid? You just keep saying, I'm so stupid. The person you kick the most in your life is you. It's you. That's why you need God's mind about you. And that alone will transform your thinking, your choices, your lifestyle, everything. Changed completely, changed forever. Amen? Amen. Amen.